Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. Today, we're going to be dropping in with you guys on all things emotionality and really understanding this inner part of you. So in the last episode, we talked a lot about business and growth and everything that goes on in between that and understanding strategy and structure. And what we found was the real undertone between everything that you do, the action that you take, how you execute, really comes down to the emotions that you embody and the person that you become through that process. So in this episode, we're going to be diving into a few things. Number one, obviously understanding what your emotions are, how to embrace those, the process that happens when we decide to suppress what we're feeling and not experience it. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. We'll dive into really being able to shift your emotionality and step into a more embodied version of you, one that actually embraces the emotions that you want to experience on a day-to-day, and really speaking into and understanding anxiety and stress, because this is a huge conversation and a huge topic that comes up so much for so many people in the entrepreneurial realm, but more so just in day-to-day for every person in our current world. So that being said, let's dive in.
So the first thing, and this I want to almost like give you a fundamental concept, because this is going to permeate the rest of the conversation. And without this piece in place, none of the rest can be fully utilized. And it's the concept of being really, almost like radically honest with yourself, especially when we have a role in mind. We like to dip more into the role and almost lie to ourselves rather than facing what we're actually feeling. And what I mean by role is starting off as a coach, you might feel, especially if you are a mindset coach, you might feel, oh, I'm a mindset coach. I'm not allowed to have problems. I can't have problems. I can't have negative emotions because otherwise I'm a shitty coach and who's going to work with me, right? And you can spin yourself out on that. And to the point, by the way, I know this very well because I did this to myself for like 2 years straight, to the point of like not dealing with your emotions and like hiding them from yourself on an unconscious level. Really, like I wasn't aware of what I was feeling. And that sounds strange if that's never happened to you, that remember this, your unconscious mind forms about 94% of everything that happens to you, in you, by you, whatever. The conscious part of you, the part that you're aware of, is only 6%. And you can push things out of your awareness without you even being aware of that process. I was not even aware when I was getting angry or when I was getting sad or when I was getting stressed or anxious, because in my mind, I had a role and I was going to play that role no matter what, to the point of completely ignoring and not even dealing with my own shit, right? And people have other roles, parents, friends, whatever it might be for you. And as we, you know, adventure into this world of emotionality, well, you have to be aware of your own emotions first, right? So that you can do something with them. And that means giving up the role. Just give it up. Because first of all, when you play into a role, you're lying to yourself entirely. You're saying that, oh, this is me. No, it's not. You're so much more than that. You're so much more than a coach. You're so much more than a mom or a dad or a friend or whatever. And so you get to feel whatever you feel, because first and foremost, you're a human. You're experiencing everything else that every other human does. And there is nothing wrong or bad with feeling anything. Really, there's nothing wrong or bad with being stressed. I don't care what you do professionally. You know, there's nothing wrong with being sad or getting upset, being frustrated. There is something wrong about lying to yourself. There is something wrong about hiding it. There is something unhealthy with holding on to it, especially if you hold on to it because you have resisted processing it or dealing with it. So fundamentally, as we go through, allow yourself to feel whatever you feel in your life. They're important things. There's a reason we still have emotions. after all this time of evolution, right? It's because they're critical to our survival. It's critical to our experience of this world. So let yourself feel and increase your sensitivity to what you feel, and also become okay with feeling and thinking things you don't like. You know, feeling things that are uncomfortable, having thoughts that make you uneasy, because then you'll be able to truly make use of the rest of the strategies we've got for you in this episode.
Woohoo. So let's dive deeper into this. And I'm laughing because it's like, there's almost like this stigma around being sensitive or being emotional in the Western world, where especially for men, it's considered weak. And for women, in a lot of ways, you hear the sense of being like overly emotional, right? Like you should only be like this happy, confident, really loving person. And so it's really, really interesting to just know in today's Western culture, we're born to a society where emotions aren't really something that we embrace. And a lot of times it's something that we're constantly suppressing because they're almost seen as a nuisance, right? Feelings are a nuisance because they're keeping us from being able to take action. And so what do? We use supplements, we take caffeine, we take Adderall, we take whatever it is to suppress what we're feeling so that we can work harder and do more, completely pushing down everything that's going on. And then we get to a point to where one day we wake up and we have a panic attack, or we wake up and we're spiraling and having a crazy emotional breakdown, and we're wondering where it all came from. So I want to preface in saying that whatever it is that is coming up for you, if you've been the person who A, has experienced a lot of anxiety and a lot of panic attacks, I resonate with that so much. I've been there. The person who's had a lot of emotional breakdowns, been there as well. The person who doesn't allow themselves or hasn't allowed themselves to feel things because you feel like you constantly need to show up, similar to what Dan was saying, all of these are just symptoms of a culture that we live in. And the cool thing of that is we can shift that and we can heal that. And the first start part of this is recognizing that pain is not the problem, that these less desirable emotions, a lot of people would frame them as negative emotions, but it's not that they're negative, they're just less desirable, right? We desire them less. They're beautiful. They have a purpose. They have a gift. And so the more that we can get into understanding and just allowing the pain to be a part of our experience and recognizing that there's a gift in that, this is where we start to actually heal so much of what's going on inside of us. And so especially for those of you that carry a lot of what we would frame as trauma, recognizing that trauma is just unprocessed emotions, right? That's stuck in the body that never actually got to get processed because of what was happening in the moment. And so when you start to create space for yourself, and what I mean when I say this is you create a place where you feel safe in your body, where you feel safe in your environment, and you allow yourself to actually feel what's coming up, that's when we start to actually process these emotions. And you'll hear this from myself and from many other people in the industry share that the healing is in the feeling, right? When we actually feel what's going on, when we actually feel what the body is bringing to us, then we can release it and we can heal it. But when we suppress it and when we lock it in, it's actually just creating more turmoil inside of our body and then evidently inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, and inside of everything else that we do. So the real work here is in really loving and embracing the work that is in the body and recognizing the body as the healer. And trusting the body as the healer.
Yeah, and this goes back to the idea of conscious versus unconscious. So remember, your unconscious forms 94% of all of you, right? So the question is, where does it come from? Because we have all of these different things in us, and we believe, this is interesting, by the way, you know, scientists still don't really know where the mind comes from at all. Like not even a little bit at all. We're not even close to scratching the surface of an answer to that question. And it's really interesting because we think that the voice that we hear in our heads is us, right? Like it's our thoughts. We think one to one with our thoughts. That is not even close to true, right? So every single organ in your body produces neurotransmitters. These are the molecules of thought, let's say, right? Basic, right? The only thing is there's only one organ in your body that produces neurotransmitters of a very special type, which allow us to hear those thoughts, which is your brain. So what that means is all the rest of your body is producing thought. You just can't hear it. You're just not aware of it. That is your unconscious. So yes, there is intelligence in your heart. We also know this anecdotally because we see what happens when we transplant hearts or lungs or different organs, but especially the heart and the lungs. Really interesting. Transfer these, you transfer memories and thoughts and habits, behaviors. It's really cool. And so what that means is that there is a lot of wisdom in your body, and a lot of how you think comes from your body. And not just that, I mean, look at your enteric nervous system. That's your gut brain, right? You understand your gut brain produces more neurotransmitters than your brain does? That's wild. So the gut produces more thought than your brain does. So it actually has more of an impact over how you think and feel than your brain does. So when we talk about really respecting your body and listening to it and working with it, that's why. It's your unconscious. It's the bedrock foundation of who you are and how you be and everything that makes you you. And so it's really important to be able to look at both, you know, your brain, your mind, your body, your conscious, your unconscious. Look at all of it as this beautifully complex unit, right? And each part might need a different form of treatment or attention or love or whatever you need, right? To understand as a whole of you and not just a little piece.
So let's dive in here a little bit deeper. And one of the biggest pieces that comes up for so many of just modern age people today, which is stress and anxiety, right? And what essentially is stress and anxiety? Where is it coming from? How does it look? Why is this so important to tune into? And how is it actually impacting your life?
So this is something when we're talking about ignoring how you feel, I really think that there is no bigger source of this than stress, because we fall into a role again, right? We got no time to be stressed out. No, I'm too tough for it. I'm too manly. I'm a woman. I got so much responsibilities. I can't be stressed. Whatever the hell you've told yourself is wrong. Just straight up. Sorry. I'm saying this with a lot of love. It's just wrong. It's just completely incorrect. Stress does a really interesting thing to all of us. There are no exceptions. Okay. What stress does is alert your body and mind that there is a threat present. And then something really interesting happens. So there are two different sides of your central nervous system, two different sides of your brain. And one is more dedicated to performance. And that includes, most importantly, your prefrontal cortex. It's the part of your brain that separates us from essentially the rest of the natural world. It's why humans are at the top of the world right now and not any other animal, right? Prefrontal cortex. It's what allows you to be strategic, creative, and also it manages your self-awareness and your self-management. Now, there are a lot of other parts of your brain in the performance side, but know that when I'm talking about your performance side of your brain, that's what I'm talking about. It's the part of you that manages your emotional control, your sense of well-being, your sense of empowerment, your confidence, your strategy, creativity, willpower, everything that you need in order to be successful, in order to perform like you want to. Now, the other side is for survival. It's about quick energy. It's about increasing your reactivity so that you can run away, fight, or hide. Now, these are incredibly important parts of us. In fact, that's what your body uses to wake you up every morning. It activates the survival part of your brain. The thing is that the survival and the performance sides of your brain work like a seesaw. The more one is activated, the less the other is. And you could see it. If I put you in an fMRI machine and saw the neuronal activation inside of your brain and then stressed you out, we would see that the performance side of your brain shut down. Now, you are not aware of any of this until it gets significant. Think about it. It's really hard to be creative when you're stressed out, right? And so that is, it's like when stress gets so much, we can't not see it. You can't ignore it anymore. You can't, quote, manage it anymore. And then it becomes a real issue. But the problem is that waiting for it to get that significant is like waiting for you to have a heart attack before realizing you should take care of yourself. It's a little too late, right? You don't need to get burnt out before you realize that something is wrong. And so we ignore stress. And the more we get stressed out, the harder it is for us to think straight. In fact, this is really cool. When you look at an adolescent, look at a teenager. And if you have a teenager at home, you know what I'm talking about. Would you give your teenager your business to run? Would you give them keys to your business? You're probably thinking, oh, fuck no. Like, why would I do something as silly as that? They'd make mistakes. They'd overlook things. They don't know anything. They can't think right. You know what the major difference is between a teenager and an adult? Prefrontal cortex activation and formation, right? Teenagers have an incompletely built prefrontal cortex. The performance side of the brain is not as active as it could be when they become adults. But that's what happens when you get stressed out. When you get stressed out, your brain reverts. It's like you start thinking more and more and more like a teenager. And if you wouldn't give a teenager your business to run, why would you give yourself your business to run when you're stressed out? It's the same thing. So we can see this. Stress is one of these things. You must be aware of it. And instead of lying to yourself or hiding it or trying to be tough, admit that stress exists. Admit that you're feeling it. That way, like Sophie said, you can feel it. Then you can heal it. You can do something about it. And you have to. You really have to. Because otherwise, you're going to be making things so much harder for yourself than they need to be.
And this is similar when it comes to like anxiety. The way I love to paint the picture of anxiety is like the check engine light on your car going off, right? It's your body trying to tell you, hey, pay attention. Some part of us is needing something, right? It's needing love. It's needing space. It's needing to feel held. It's needing to feel like it's safe. And I think this is the biggest piece is a lot of times we feel anxious because we don't feel safe in our body, right? And so we're trying to get out of the body. And that's essentially what you're experiencing in these moments of having a panic attack or an anxiety. It's just so uncomfortable in your body that you're literally, you don't want to be in it. And so the biggest piece is understanding and it's embracing your anxiety, which sounds a little funny to say, but it's like, okay, let me slow down. Let me actually get present with myself, right? Let me just ground and be in my body and really feel into what part of me is needing a little bit extra love and a little bit extra attention right now. And again, anxiety usually comes when we're so worked up from not giving ourselves the attention that we then go into these states of feeling anxious. And then of course we have panic attacks. So if we can start to honor these signals that the body is giving us, what it's telling us through our emotions, then we can actually start to use the body's innate wisdom as a way to guide us to become more optimal in the way that we show up in our day-to-day lives, right? Every emotion has a gift behind it. And the more that we can start to listen and tune into what that emotion is wanting us to really experience, then we can discern for ourselves what it is that we need to do that's in alignment, but not just with our ego selves, but with our higher selves. And so discernment in your emotionality is really going to be the core here. Discerning when you're being emotional and when these emotions are coming from a place of, okay, like I'm being very reactive, and are, how can I be responsive? How can I choose how to respond to the emotion I'm experiencing versus just react to it? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And here's an interesting thing as well, is what you're saying. Everything that Sophie just said requires a great amount of self-awareness, right? Being able to look in. The problem here, and this is why usually stress and anxiety happen together, is that when you get anxious, let's zoom into the brain again. I'm going to get super dorky on your asses right now. When you zoom in, anxiety shows up. You have two different kinds. One is straight amygdalic anxiety. Your amygdala is known as like the fear center of the brain, right? And so anxiety that bypasses the prefrontal cortex, remember, that's the one that allows you to be self-aware and self-manage. You can bypass it. That's when you get the anxiety and you don't know why, right? If you've ever felt that, which by the way, is the same anxiety if you've ever drank coffee early in the morning, like right after you wake up, like I always tell people to avoid doing, especially for this reason. You may feel anxiety for no reason at all. It's because the caffeine has prompted production of stress hormones that have freaked out your amygdala. Then there's prefrontal cortex anxiety. That's the anxiety you can speak to, right? Where you can I don't have any money. Okay, you look at your bank account. There's a logical reason for you to feel comfort. The anxiety goes away. The problem is what happens when you're stressed out too. When you're stressed out also, your prefrontal cortex goes down, right? It starts getting offline. The more stressed out, the more gone your prefrontal cortex is. And that's the part of you that you need in order to either talk yourself off the ledge or do anything that Sophie just said, right? Like that whole self-awareness bit, that really feeling into it, that, you know, giving yourself that comfort, that love, that whatever you need, you can't do any of that when you're stressed out and anxious at the same time. And what that creates is a perfect storm of you're totally fucked, right? And try working, by the way, through that. What happens then is because your amygdala is sending fear responses to your brain, your prefrontal cortex is gone, so you can't do anything about it, and you're still trying to work. Well, the thing is also that shuts down your strategy and your ability to think strategically, your ability to think creatively. So you're handicapped. And you're trying to solve a problem. You're trying to build your business. It's not going to go well or as well as you want it to because you're freaked out. And then you're going to try even harder, right? You push even more. It's like pressing your foot on the gas, but your brain is holding the e-brake on. And that's how you get burnt out.
So all of this to be said, it's slowing down is really going to be your best friend when we're talking about emotions. Because we live in a world where it's so fast-paced and we're constantly wanting to get to the next thing. But emotions aren't something to be rushed. It's actually counterintuitive. When we slow down and get present with our emotions, they process faster. But when we try to process them quickly, they seem to continue to elongate for longer periods of time. And then we continue to feel frustrated day after day after day after day. So the process here is it becomes more of a mindfulness practice in a lot of ways of how can we become so much more mindful about how we are approaching and experiencing everything that's present for us. When we notice that there's sadness in our bodies, when we notice that there's hurt in our bodies, that there's judgment, that there's uncertainty, that there's insecurity, that there's doubt, any of these less desirable emotions, what is our immediate response, right? Do we react and spiral into these cognitive processes? Do we try to avoid it and then distract ourselves with whatever mechanisms that we lean on? Or do we decide to get present with it and create a space for ourselves so we can lean in and just experience the emotionality without needing to attach story to it? And I think this is really the shift here when we're talking about emotions through the body versus emotions through the mind. You want to allow yourself the permission of experiencing whatever you're experiencing without needing to understand it. And I think this is where a lot of people get stuck in loops as they create a story of like, oh, I'm feeling sad because of this thing that came up and there was this whole story around it, versus just allowing yourself to just feel that sadness, release it, and know that the body is doing the work. The body is the healer. The body is such an incredible machine and has so much wisdom. The issue is we have this very, very young mind that's still trying to catch up. And the way that the body processes emotions is processing so much faster than the mind can. So by the time we've already felt and experienced an emotion, it's already been processed by the body. But then when we try to understand it through the mind, we're locking it back in. So the gift here is understanding that, okay, when I feel this, when I move through my sadness, when I move through my anger in a healthy way, then it allows me to go ahead and release it. And then I'm able to move forward, right? So a few things inside of all of this. Number one, making and normalizing your pain, right? Normalizing the less desirable emotions. It's okay to feel those. In fact, there's a gift inside of feeling that. It's a way for you to cleanse and to release. After that, it's allowing yourself a safe space to actually feel and process. So obviously, if you're on stage and you're giving a big presentation, may not be the opportune moment to lean into just having an emotional breakdown. So you want to create a safe space for yourself and say, great, okay, there's emotion coming up right now. I'm going to allow myself to process this in a safe space. And then you go and you create that safe space for yourself where you can experience it. And then the other thing is not attaching story, not having to understand or comprehend it. And I think this is where, especially in today's world, we create such a huge theme around needing to understand and intellectualize everything. But the body is something that we don't have to understand. We can just start to trust it. And it's something that you get to experience to really lean into and really have that, like, that understanding of.
Yeah. And two other things that I want to bring up here real quick with that. So again, remembering that your consciousness makes up 6% of all of the wisdom and everything that's going on in your body, right? It's going on inside of you. Your unconscious, the one that forms 94% of all of you, is intimately linked with your body. Your body produces it, right? So what are the chances that you can really fully, truly, and accurately understand that 94% using only your 6%? Doesn't that sound a little silly? Just mathematically, it sounds a little off, doesn't it? Like you're using your weakest tool in order to understand your greatest tool. What is that about, right? So maybe we don't need to. Maybe we can give that process up, knowing that a lot of the stories, most if not all the stories you've created are wrong. How about that, right? Just knowing that, like, well, I could make another bullshit story about this that I can use to punish myself forever, or I can trust that there is an even greater wisdom inside of me that I just don't hear. That maybe I'm more than just my thoughts. Maybe I'm just more in general. And if I can tap into that more, then there is healing and beauty and all sorts of incredible pieces of evolution in there that I don't have to understand, right? Like, I don't know how my car works. I drove it to the gym today just fine, right? I don't know how my phone works. I use it all the time. So why do we have to create stories for how we work or why we work or why our experiences are what they are? That's actually one of the issues that we deal with. The whole reason I have a job at all, the whole reason that I'm needed is because people create stories for themselves as they grow up. And that's what happens, that your mind retains an emotional record for every single thing that had ever hurt you or made you feel uncomfortable, because it wants to keep you safe. So it wants to keep you away from these things, right? So it creates stories and then it remembers these stories, like a helicopter mom thinking that if she just keeps you away from every single threat, well, then you'll stay safe and happy forever. But we know what happens with that, right? You get overcoddled and you create this cocoon of your own stories that literally prevents you from even engaging or being fully aware of what's actually happening around you. This is what happens. Your unconscious is scanning your reality every single second. And by the way, now we're getting hints that this happens in your sleep and even when you're fully sedated under surgery, like going through surgery, this happens. Your mind scans all the information that it could possibly gather from what you're around, comparing what you have or what you're seeing and experiencing to those emotional records of everything that had ever hurt you or made you feel uncomfortable. The moment it finds something that even looks remotely familiar, you get emotionally triggered. Then you stop responding to the thing that's actually happening in front of you, and you start responding to the thing that's inside of you, the thing that was triggered. That's why you might actually be speaking with your partner, but your brain thinks you're being yelled at by your dad when you were two. You know? And so it's these stories. It's just these stories. It's all they are. And what could happen if we just broke that cycle? If we allowed ourselves to experience things just as things, and we allowed our emotions to just be and process through us, and instead of attaching in a story to everything and adding even more emotional records, what if as we get triggered, we let go of the story that got triggered? What if we, that's actually the term surrender, right? We surrender ourselves. We surrender our egos. We surrender our stories. We give them up, knowing that what we want to do is deal with reality. We want to deal with things as we are now and as they are now, not living in this, you know, internal world of our emotional triggers and our need for self-protection. And that really is the purest definition of getting out of our own way. When we can just observe and interact with life for what it is without our stories or needs or likes or dislikes or what had happened to us or didn't happen to us, we expand our ability to deal with life and to deal with ourselves. And we can view things in many more ways. It gives us ultimate flexibility to interpret, to read into, or not, or maybe just not even engage. To just let life pass by, choosing which things we want to invest our energy and time in, instead of just being triggered every single time someone cuts you off or looks at you the wrong way, or every time a client says no, or every time you look at your bank account, or whatever triggers you have, right? The more we let this process go, and that really involves, you know, having an emotion without the story and letting it simply process and letting it go, then we, as we progress and as we do this over and over and over again, we come into an even greater state of true mindfulness, of really being here now, being actually engaging in the world around us instead of the world inside of us. And we start truly evolving into, you know, the loving, peaceful, balanced forms that we know we can be.
And so all of this is to say a few things. Number one, it's less about controlling your emotions, and it's more so about learning how to work with your emotions. Because a lot of times you hear the frame of either you control your emotions or your emotions are controlling you. And that's not so much the case. It's more so about learning how to embrace this, work with these different parts of yourselves, and just being able to take the wisdom that each of them have to give to you. And as you do this, the easier this process gets. And what's really interesting is the first few times that you actually allow yourself to feel, it'll probably feel really intense, right? Because there's such a buildup. But the more that you do it, the intensity gets less and less and less. And before you know it, these huge emotional waves of like breakdowns and massive panic attacks just become these like little moments, just little moments in time that you just, oh, interesting. There's some sadness there. Let me sit with that for a moment. Let me breathe through that. And then it releases, and it takes minutes, right? Sometimes even seconds. And that's all it is. So allow yourself to embrace whatever's coming up for you. Recognize that whatever you're experiencing, it's an experience you're having. It doesn't mean it's who you are, right? The magic with mindset work is it's kind of like this wand in a way to where we're able to manipulate ourselves to believe certain stories and certain things about who we are and rewire that. And then we create the evidence for it. And so the magic here is, great, how can I choose to create a story, create a reality, a character, a role that really empowers me, that encompasses all of my emotions, and recognize that all of these are serving me as a way to just guide me more and more towards my higher self.
Exactly. And on that note, if this episode was awesome for you, if you gained something, you got a gem out of it, let us know. You can do that by hopping into iTunes, leaving us those 5 stars, leaving us a review. You can send us a message on Instagram or Facebook. That's the easiest way to reach us. And we really do treasure those messages that we get. Or send it to someone. You know, if this episode might help someone you know, especially someone you really care about, please do send it to them. You know, really, we're just trying to help as many people as we possibly can. And if you can be a part of that, if you can really participate in that, we would really love it. And so, lots of love, guys. Thanks for spending this time with us.